and I love the reference to all the collectors of those stories and the creators of stories, which I will also talk about here briefly in the presentation. So one of the issues, though, and why we perhaps one of the reasons we have Women's History Month is that women's stories have tended to be more likely to be silenced in a culture that is based on a lot of patriarchal norms and traditions. And so we'll talk about that. When I teach this, you know, at the college level, I spend a whole, you know, hour and 15 minutes talking a little bit about the history of the institutions and all these different civilizations throughout the world that have tended to not let women into public spaces, that the public spaces have been more for men to be in, whether that's a religious space, or a workspace, or a political space, or a military space, whatever it might be. Women have educational spaces, all those spaces women have tended to have less access to. Just, we don't admit women here. You know, it wasn't until the 70s that they told, say, medical schools, no, you can't just say that you'll let 0 to 1 women in per year. That's not legal anymore. But that was, you know, the 1970s. That you, until then, you could just say, not admitting you here because you're a woman. Access to political positions, obviously there was a struggle for the franchise itself, for the voting rights, leadership roles in workplaces. So there's been a lot of formal exclusion of women from those spaces, and then also informal exclusion. And so when you're not part of the public, your story tends to be less visible. Obviously we've had, you know, important changes. We've had activists of all genders working towards those changes. But one important piece that I'd like us to think about when we think about stories and whose stories get told is the concept of androcentrism. That's the biggest technical word I'll use today, but it's an idea of men at the center. So andro referring to men and centrism referring to at the center. And that refers to being kind of culturally centered in terms of different kinds of power, but that is super variable because, you know, racism and classism and other forms of discrimination mean that some men have way less power than other men, some women have way more power than other women. So this is complicated, but it's also an important pattern that I'll talk about a little bit. So men at the center, so that kind of means men as the default human being, the hero, the hero's journey, the hero at the center of the story, also the villain, also the expert or the authority. Who are the real artists? Who are the real workers? Who are the real geniuses? I taught a freshman seminar on the genius of women and some of the ways in which that had been excluded, because most people can still pull people today when they think of who a genius is, they think of a man. There's a lot of just sort of cultural bias we have around these things. So just to give you a couple of examples, there was a study of 4 major newspapers that found that 85% of op-eds are still written by men, and that is partly who feels entitled to speak and tell a story and have an opinion. That's not just because newspapers are saying, no, we won't let women speak. It's sort of that conditioning to who is thought of as the default speaker. So another, I just saw this and I didn't get it into my slideshow, but there's a little thing on the movies, the award-winning movies over the last 20 years and how much more literal voice and speaking was given to male characters than female characters. And it's pretty staggering, all the way up, this went up to 2015, but it was like you just have this bar of the men speaking and this little tiny side of the women speaking in the award-winning movies. But one way to kind of gauge that is something called the Bechdel test that Alison Bechdel came up with. Does a movie contain, so this is like a good movie that passes a test of like bare minimum women get to speak and their stories matter.